Of welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one that is here. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. And we pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house this morning. And to those that are listening online as well, we want to thank you for tuning in. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you listen in to the service this morning. Do remember tonight we meet again for prayer at 6:30 and then for the evening service at 7 p.m. And we do extend to each one that invitation to come back again this evening to be part of our meetings here in the church as we gather together to worship the Lord. The services end for the incoming week. The children's meeting continues tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We're into the rundown, as it were, to the end of the term. We do value and covet your prayers for that work as the children get ready for the parents' night. Then on Wednesday evening, we gather for Bible study and for prayer at 8 p.m. And can we say as well this Wednesday evening, the accounts for last year will be presented to the congregation. So do make that effort to come out and to come around God's word with us, and also to come around the throne of grace in prayer. For members of session, we remind you that Presbytery is on this Friday night coming, and it's in person in the Martyrs Memorial at 8 p.m. The service is next Sunday, the Sabbath school, in the morning at 10:30. We then meet at the normal times, 11:30 and 7 p.m, with the seasons of prayer before both services. And we will also be observing, being the first Sunday of the month of April next Sunday, we'll be observing the Lord's table. And we are welcoming in one new member next week as well to our congregation. So do remember that time as well in your prayers, even next week as we gather together. Remember that we're coming to the Lord's table as well. Then just a couple of other announcements. Can we mention on behalf of our Auchnacloy congregation that this afternoon is a monthly meeting over in the Auchar Meeting House at 3:30. And God willing, the Reverend Anderson will be ministering at that meeting. If you can get along to encourage them, to support them, then we certainly do encourage you to make that effort to go over and to be part of that service. Then the last week, a number of our families in the congregation have suffered bereavements, and we want to extend our sympathy to them. First of all, to our brother Thomas Kerrigan and to Pearl on the passing of Thomas's brother-in-law, T.D. McKeon, from our Castle Derg congregation. He passed away suddenly at the beginning of the week and was buried on Wednesday. And then also to Mr. and Mrs. Kyle, to Robbie and to Ray, on the passing of their niece, Cherith Condy. And we do extend to both families our sincerest sympathy. We're thankful to the Lord that both individuals were saved, were ready to go to be with the Lord. But we do encourage you to remember them at the throne of grace at this time. And then just one final announcement. Recently, some individuals have passed in some books for missionary purposes, and they have been passed on to the Missionary Council and to the Mission Board to be sent out to the mission field. Can we just use it as an opportunity to say, if you have any good books in terms of good quality and good condition, maybe old Bibles that you have in your home that aren't any use to you, or maybe old Christian literature, and you'd like that to be donated to the mission field, then please do pass them over to either Charlie or to Primrose, our Missionary Council representatives, and they will be then forwarded on to the mission board to be sent to the mission field. And so if you have any old stuff, then do pass it on if you are finished with it. We're going to commence this morning our worship with the paraphrase 48. The paraphrase 48, the page is 162. Let Christian faith and hope dispel the fears of guilt and woe. The Lord Almighty is our friend, and who can prove a foe? We'll sing down to the end of verse 6. So the paraphrase 48, the verse 1 through to the end of verse 6. And we'll stand as we sing. Let's stand together.
Let Christian faith and hope dispel the fears of guilt and woe. The Lord Almighty is our friend, and who
unite our hearts together around the throne of grace this morning. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, it thrills our hearts this morning for the salvation which Christ has purchased at Calvary. We thank Thee, O God, this day that each and every one that is saved is justified by the blood of Christ. And Lord, even this reminder this morning that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's not one, O God, can accuse, not one can point a finger. For we have been declared righteous in the sight of God. We thank and praise Thee that our sins are covered. Yea, that multitude of sins is cleansed and washed in the precious blood of Christ. We thank Thee for our standing in Him. We rejoice this day that we never stand apart from Him again. We'll never stand to the side where God could see our sins, but rather we stand in Christ, clothed in His righteousness. And we thank Thee this day that we have peace with Thee. What a blessing it is to know that Jesus Christ is our Savior and Jesus Christ is our friend. We thank Thee for the opportunity to gather once again to Thy house. We thank Thee for this day. We thank Thee, O God, for even the blessings already received in it, for the beautiful weather that we've enjoyed all week and even again this morning, that we have been able to gather together and drive and come to this house even in this fashion. We thank Thee for the health and strength. We thank Thee, O God, for that food that we've been able to enjoy already. And Lord, we do pray that it will be a nourishing even off our bodies. But Father, we pray for the spiritual nourishment that we will have. And O God, that we pray in faith that we will receive even from Thy word afresh today, that we will feed from that finest of the wheat as the book is opened, as it's read publicly together. And O God, even as it's ministered upon, Father, we pray that it will find that resting place in each and every heart. Oh, that all our hearts today will receive from Thee. That all our hearts today will be spoken to by Thee. Oh, Father, we don't come together to simply spend an hour away from the world, but rather we come that we might worship Thee and that we might hear a word from Thee. Lord, bless each one that is here. We thank Thee for Thy hand of mercy again upon us, even since we last met together. We thank Thee, Lord, for watching over us, for providing for us. Lord, we thank Thee that Thou hast watched over our going outs and our coming ins. Lord, we do pray that Thou will continue to be with us, both today and even in the incoming week. Thou knowest all that will come our way in accordance with Thy will. Thou knowest, O God, each and every day and each and every moment of the day. And Lord, we do pray that Thou wilt guide and give that grace and that help at every corner and at every need. Lord, remember us, we pray Thee. Remember our congregation. Remember each one that is here. Remember, O God, the children that have been instructed already this day in the Sabbath school. We thank Thee for afresh each opportunity that is given to present the word even to the children. We pray that Thou wilt bless the going forth of that word. Bless Thy servants who ministered. And bless, O God, the children that heard. And, O Father, that Thou wilt speak to the children even through that word. And Lord, remember every family that is here. Every house that is represented. Oh, that Thou wilt come and undertake. And even in these days, O Father, that Thou wilt unite families in Christ Jesus. Remember those that are sick as well. Oh, Father, we think of those that would love to be here today, but due to circumstances, due to the providences of God, they're laid aside at this time. Be near to them. Strengthen them in body. Strengthen them in mind. Encourage them even through Thy word today. And Father, speak and bless them and meet them at the very point of their need. Remember those that mourn. Oh, Father, we bring to Thee the Kerrigan family today, the McKeon family there in Castle Derg. We bring as well to Thee the Kyles and the Condy family. Lord, undertake comfort at this time. Each family, we pray Thee. Give that grace that is needed. Oh, Father, give Thy presence even in the homes. And even through the passing of loved ones, we pray that it will speak, that it will be that means to draw men and women unto Thyself. Lord, we thank Thee that both individuals were ready to be with Thee. We thank Thee for that preparation. We thank Thee for that repentance and that faith. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt encourage even the families, even through that glorious truth, that it's absent from the body and it's present with the Lord. But Father, comfort them. Stand with them in these days, I pray thee. And be near to us in these moments together in thy house today. Oh, that these will be blessed times when the glory of God will descend upon this house, when we will know the Lord is in the midst, when we will know that the Lord is speaking to us particularly and individually, even today, that there will be that word, and that we will leave here rejoicing, saying it was good to be here, for the Lord hath met with us, and the Lord has spoken to us. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 431, we continue to worship the Lord with this morning, the hymn 431, the page is 351. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land, I am weak, but thou art mighty, hold me with thy powerful hand. 431, again we'll stand as we sing, please. Read together from the words of Psalm 132. Psalm 132. As we continue in the Song of Degrees at this time, one after another, they have been simply those entitlements, either the Song of Degrees or the Song of Degrees of David. In Psalm 132, we read this morning, beginning at the verse 1. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to my eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou in the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant, and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Just before we come to the preaching of God's word, I'm going to sing the hymn 747. The hymn 747, the page is 475. Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Saviour, where Christ is head and counsellor and guide. And may this be the prayer even of our hearts as we, as parents and as families together, may it be our desire that Christ is the head of each and every one of our homes. 747, let's remain seated just for the first part, and then we'll stand for the verse number 4.
Thank you.
Exodus in the chapter number 2. I want to read from. Of course, as you know, today is Mother's Day. And no doubt all of the mothers have been spoilt already this morning. I was asking some of the young people, would they be cooking for their mothers this afternoon? And they said, no, that would ruin her day. Mothers cook best, so we'll leave it to the mothers. But it is a wonderful thing that even time can be given by children to rise up, to honour their mothers, to call them blessed. And we want to consider this morning Jochebed and the godly mother that she was. So we'll read from Exodus chapter 2, the verse 1. The word of God says, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. She laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for thee? Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away, and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. Because I drew him out of the water. Amen. The Lord bless his word afresh to our hearts this morning. Jochebed, a godly mother. Let's have a moment's prayer. Ask the Lord to speak to us afresh, even through his word this morning. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. No, Father, we ask thee that thou wilt give us even the spirit of Samuel, as he simply cried unto the Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. Ask, O God, even at this moment, that each mind and each heart will be still, will know that thou art God, and Father, that thou wilt come and minister to our needs and to our hearts this day. I confess my need afresh of the Holy Ghost. I confess, O God, I am nothing without that help from on high. For without me, thou canst do nothing. That is what thou hast declared. And so we turn to thee in faith. We pray, O God, that thou wilt come and speak. Speak to my heart. Speak to me. And, O God, even speak through me this day. Speak to each one that is here, to children, and to parents, to each and every individual alike. May there be that word in season, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the time of year when opportunity is taken to give thanks to God for the mothers that he has blessed us with. Whether they remain to this day or whether they have passed on, you can never undervalue the influence that a mother can have upon her children, both in childhood and indeed even as they grow into adults, and indeed the adults that they become. So often the finger can be traced to how the mother has influenced and how the mother has undertaken for them. It's interesting whenever you consider the history of France. And they had a total of 69 monarchs before they had the French Revolution and did away with the monarchy altogether. And so many of those 69 monarchs were completely wicked individuals who were against their people. Only three of the French monarchs actually loved their people. The rest loved themselves. Can you imagine 69 monarchs and only three loved the people, three cared for the people, and all three of those, the common denominator was this: they were brought up by their mother. They were not brought up in the court of the palace by counselors, by teachers, and by influencers upon the king, but rather the mother was the influence within their upbringing. I speak of Louis I, Louis XII, and Henry IV. All three of them had the motherly influence upon their lives. And all three of them grew up to love their people and to care for them. Mothers truly are special. Godly mothers are a blessing. To have a mother who knows how to pray, to have a mother who prays, who loves their children, to have a mother who desires to bring up their children and to ensure that they are brought up in the things of God, is truly a great blessing. We think this morning of Moses, the great leader of the Israelites, the one whom God would raise up to lead the people out of Egypt. The one to whom all of that responsibility would fall upon his shoulders. The one even to whom the moral, the ceremonial and the judicial laws would be given to write down and to implement to the people as they made their way through the wilderness. He is a giant in biblical characters. He is a giant within the history of Israel. And yet if we take a step back this morning just to consider, well, who was the influence upon his early life? Who was the one that was before him? Who was his mother? Who indeed was his father? Well, they're nobody special. We're introduced in the chapter 2, the verse 1. He's just simply a man out of the house of Levi. And he took to wife a daughter of Levi. Even the tribe from which they come is not a special tribe at this point. You think of the way that the heritage works in terms of the lineage. It's the eldest son gets the greatest benefits, as it were, in biblical times. So Reuben was the chief tribe. And then, of course, Judah was the strong one. But Levi at this time was not the priestly tribe. He was just another tribe, just another son. And so the individuals are just introduced. It's a man from Levi and it's a woman from Levi. It isn't until chapter 6 and the verse 20 that we eventually find out their names. Because Exodus 6 and the verse 20, it tells us that Amram took him, Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And of course we know as well that there was a daughter who was the eldest, Miriam. And so Amram and Jochebed had three children, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Now this morning, specifically, we are focusing our attention upon Jochebed, but it is important to state that Jochebed and Amram are united in how they bring up their children. Yes, we can read the verses there, and it tells us that whenever the woman conceived, she saw him to be a goodly child. She was the one who sought to hide him. She was the one who made the ark. She was the one who put him in the ark. But every single point of his upbringing, as a child in those early months, every single thing and part of it, Amram and Jochebed were fully united and fully together. We find evidence of this in the gallery of faith in Hebrews 11 and the verse 23. Because there it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months off his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So both father and mother, both of them in faith saw who Moses was and who he was going to be. Both of them in faith saw the need to preserve him, to protect him. Both of them together had no fear of the king of Egypt. Isn't that a wonderful testimony of parents? Together they are recorded in the gallery of faith in Hebrews. Together they were united in their children's upbringing. Together they were individuals who loved the Lord, who lived for the Lord, and who led their children in the things of God. Both of them. That's the kind of parents that each one of us who are parents need to be for our children. We need to be united. Each one that has the blessing and the responsibility of having children within the home and under our care in their youth, we need to understand that together you need to be. Together you need to stand for the Lord. Not leaving everything to the mother or not leaving everything to the father, but rather father and mother together united in the bringing up of the children, in the nurturing them and the nourishing of them in the things of God. As I said, this is Mother's Day, so we want to specifically look at Jochebed. But so much fathers can be applied to you too, so don't be switching off and leaving the mother to listen to it all. Three things I want to leave with you in relation to the godly woman that Jochebed was. I want you to see firstly with me the distinction of her. The distinction of her. Jochebed was different from the other mothers in Egypt. You know, it's very easy whenever you think and you gloss over, as it were, you skim over the history of the Israelite people and that time of captivity in Egypt, and you think to yourself, well, all of the Israelites were just longing and just wanting to be released. All of the Israelites were praying to the Lord. All of the Israelites were under the persecution and the hardship of the Egyptians. All of them were crying out together. That's not the truth. That's not the reality. If you turn over with me to the book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel in the chapter 20 and the verses 6 to 8, it shines a great light on exactly what it was like as an Israelite in Egypt. Ezekiel in the chapter 20, in the verse number 6, the Lord is speaking and he says, "In the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt," that's speaking of the Israelites, "into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Then said I unto them," this is God speaking to his people in Egypt at that time, "cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt, I am the Lord your God." Look at verse 8. "But they rebelled against me, and would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abominations of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. And then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish mine anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt." Did you ever wonder why at the start of the 10 plagues the Israelites also received the hardship? Remember, it comes a point in the midst of the 10 plagues that then those in Goshen are protected. Those in Goshen do not experience any more of the plagues. I believe those first number of plagues, and based on even on these scriptures, I believe those first number of plagues had to be dealt out even upon the Israelite people to cause them to turn, to cause them to change. Because up until that point, even the Israelite people, the longer that they remained in the land of Egypt, the closer they got to the things of the world, the further they got from the things of God. So many of the Israelite people were not walking with God, were not waiting upon him. In spite of all of the hardship of slavery, in spite of the fact that after Joseph passed away and all of that generation passed away, in spite of the fact that then the new Pharaoh that raised up didn't know Joseph and didn't know Joseph's God and immediately turned on the people, in spite of the fact of there's the world, as it were, in Egypt and in Pharaoh placing that burden upon the people, yet the people said, "No, we want to be like you. We want your gods. We want your idolatry. We want what you experience. We want what you enjoy." The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob had been set aside. The Israelite community in Egypt sought to integrate themselves with their Egyptian neighbors. They wanted to fit in. They wanted to be accepted if they could. Indeed, would you believe it, some of the Israelites went so far as to accept and obey Pharaoh's ruling to cast their children into the river Nile. You remember that part, and even we speak about it here this morning, we read about it, of how there was that decree had been sent out, if you have a baby boy, you must throw it in the river, it must be drowned. That was Pharaoh's ruling. And Jochebed and Amram, they don't do that with Moses. They seek to spare his life. But not every Israelite did that. Some Israelites did obey and did drown their children. You find that in Acts 7 and verse 19, when Stephen is giving his testimony before the Jewish council. Because Stephen speaking, he says, Acts 7 to verse 19, the same, in other words, Pharaoh, dealt subtly with our kindred and evil and treated our fathers so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. Pharaoh managed to trick some of the Israelite people that they took their own children and threw them in the Red Sea, or threw them in the River Nile. But not Amram, and not Jochebed. Jochebed, as a mother, was distinct from those around her. In spite of what that meant, in spite of the fact that they were going against the popular view of the day, in spite of the fact that they were swimming against the tide, that they were going against that which was acceptable and promoted and enjoyed by so many in Egypt at that time, both Egyptians and Israelites. They were distinct. They were separate. See, they loved the Lord. They trusted and obeyed him even if they were alone. And you think of that, there's that tight community of Israelites living in the land of Goshen. And so many of her friends that she grew up with, so many of the other mothers, the other families in that area, they all turned their back on that which they had been taught from a child. The history of Israel in terms of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The history of the covenanting God. And so many of her community around her set aside that which they had been brought up in to pursue and to be part of the community of that day. You know, I think of today. I think of how many Christian parents have set aside the biblical principles and standards in raising their children to fit in with society. Many parents today will not have a desire to have their children under the sound of God's word. Many Christian parents across even Northern Ireland today do not put that emphasis upon their children being under the instruction, being in the place where the scriptures are taught. Many have went after the way of the world in terms of, well, if the child wants to go, they can go, but I'm not going to force them. I'm not going to make them come to church. If they don't want to go to the children's meeting, or if they don't want to go to the youth, or if they don't want to go to these things, well, I'll not make them. Because no other parent that I know is forcing their children. No other parent is telling their child that they need to be saved. So I'll not do it either. Sadly, there are Christian parents that, even though they were taught the gospel from a child, they were taught that they need to be saved. And yet, as they have become parents, no longer do they teach their children that they need to be saved through the work of Jesus Christ. Some Christian parents seeking to fit in today with society are simply telling their children to be good moral people, to have good standards, to treat others well, to have good manners. That's enough. Simply to fit in. Sadly, there are also Christian parents in fitting in, seeking to fit in with society, that they set aside the observance of the Lord's Day. So many sports activities are now held on Sundays. The training for them, the competition side of it, it's all Sundays. So Christians are allowing their young children and their teenage children to go and be part of these activities on Sundays. In spite of the fact that they, whenever the parents were children, it was very clear, and even as they began their families and as the children began, there was never that desire to take them to the things of the world. But now, because of the way society has went, and now because of that desire, well, my young child is a gifted young person. My teenager's gifted, they have talents, and well, the training, the competition's on a Sunday, so well, I take them to it. I want to encourage them to get as far as they can and to pursue their career and to get as far and to be as successful as they can. So they set aside the observance of the Lord's Day. They fear the child missing out or not being accepted more than they fear the Lord. Parents, let me encourage you. Never facilitate your child in breaking the Lord's Day. Even if every other parent and every other friend and part of the school community, even if other Christian parents, and they call themselves Christians, even if they are taking their children to the sports on a Sunday, they're taking them to the tournaments on a Sunday, let me encourage you, never abandon the teaching of God's word. There's one day that's set aside in the week for God. He allows the other 6 days to be used, both in work and in leisure. But this day is God's day. And that's from the morning right through to the evening. It's not, oh, I'll come to church in the morning and take the child and we're all there in the morning and then, well, the afternoon and evening time, well, if there's something comes up, we've been to church in the morning so we can take them to whatever in the afternoon and evening. No, this entire day is God's. Not just the morning or not just the evening, all of it. There ought to be that desire, therefore, as parents to honor the teaching of God's word. Even if you're standing alone. Be like Jochebed. In spite of other parents throwing their children into the river Nile, she said, no, my child must be preserved. In spite of all of the other parents turning away and worshipping the idolatrous gods of Egypt, yet she said, and Amram said, no, we worship the one true living God. We obey him. Let me say something in passing just to the young people. Young people, never pressurize your parents to break the Lord's Day. Yes, you may be good at a sport or good at some other talent or gift that the Lord has given to you, but never force and pressurize your parents to break the Lord's Day for you. The rules of your home, the teaching of God's word, does not suddenly get abandoned or set to the side just because you turn 15 or 16. That which has always been in the place in your home in terms of remembering the Sabbath day does not suddenly get thrown out the window just because you get good at something. So don't force your parents. Don't pressurize your parents. Remember the words of the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor what? Honor their teachings. Honor their values. Honor their rulings. honor their faith. They're seeking to live for the Lord and obey His word. You give them that honor. Her distinction as a mother, she stood apart. In spite of the trend of the day, in spite of all that was going on in Egypt, she was a mother who loved the Lord. Her distinction. But then secondly, I want you to see her desire, the verses 2 and 3. It tells us that she conceived, she bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. When she could not hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes. She did what she could for as long as she could. She didn't simply obey all the government and the Pharaoh. Although I do smile to myself whenever I read verse number 3, the end of it, because she put the child therein, she led him in the flags by the river's bank. Pharaoh had told all the parents, put your children in the water. Well, she did. After 3 months, she did put him in the river Nile. But as I said, for those 3 months, she did what she could. But there did come a time whenever she could no longer hold on to him. She couldn't keep him concealed away from the world, but her desire was still to protect him and to see him preserved. And so she makes him, or for him, an ark of bulrushes. Bulrushes was the papyrus plant. The papyrus is the paper that Egyptians used in their day. These bulrushes were that plant from which they would make the paper. And so she gathered together some of that bulrushes, some of that papyrus plant, and she wove together a basket or an ark. She covered it with pitch or slime. We would call it today, we would call it tar. The tar would be that oil base to keep the water out. And so she wove that basket together, and then she painted, as it were, with that tar on the outside and the inside, and she allowed it to dry. Then she sets Moses in it. There are some similarities, of course, between this ark and Noah's ark. Both of them speak to us of the salvation of Christ. The pitch, the tar, reminds us and speaks to us of the blood of Christ. I encourage mothers today, surround your children with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Show them clearly and show them continually that you love Christ and that you believe your salvation is only found in Christ. Show forth to your children, even as they grow up and even as they become adults, show forth to them the importance of the blood of Christ. You can just imagine that care. You can imagine that attention that she gave as she made that basket. She would put all she could into making sure that basket was the best made basket ever. That every part of those plants together were tightly entwined, so there were no gaps, no possibility of water getting in. She made it as tight as she could. And then she painted it with the tar as best as she could. And she made sure there was no bit she missed as she painted around that basket. She did everything she could to ensure it was safe as possible. To ensure it was as sturdy as possible. And then when it comes to that point where she can no longer hold on to her child, she puts that child there down into that ark. She puts it in as gently and as carefully as she can. And then she sets it in the flags. You notice that she didn't just push it out into the water. so that the current would carry it away down the river, and who knows where it would end up. She sets it gently. Yes, she says, I can no longer hold on to my child. I can no longer keep him away from the world, concealed. And now I have to have that time where I'm letting him go. And so she makes and does everything she can, and she sets him so gently and carefully into the water, and she ensures he's not going to be carried away with the world. He's not going to be carried away with the water. He's there at the side. He's there in the rushes. Mothers, fathers indeed as well, do everything you can for your children spiritually. Pray for them. Teach them the love of Christ. Show them Christ in everything that you do. Surround them completely with the gospel of Christ. No, it's sad, but it's true today. There are some who give up on their children. Just abandon them to the world. Some as they're growing up and they see how much the world changes from whenever you were a child. How much wickedness, how much more in the face, as it were, sin is. How much abusive it is even towards Christianity. And how much it's on the rise and Christianity seems to be on the decrease. And the things of God and the influence of God and His Word seems to be on the decrease. And parents today, they just, as it were, give up and they say, well, what hope does my child have? They're the only one in their entire class at school who goes to church. Every other child in their class as a grown up, there's not one Christian, there's not one who even does anything in terms of observance of the Lord's Day. There's not one who even goes near a church. What hope does my child have? And they just, as it were, give up on their children to say there's no hope for them. Jochebed didn't just simply push Moses out and say, well, who knows where he'll end up. The current will take him. He could end up further down. Crocodiles could get him. The ark could turn upside down. He could be drowned. Who knows? She could no longer hold on to him, but she put him there as gently and as carefully as she could. She didn't just let him drift away from her. Her desire was to protect him, to provide the best that she could for him, to preserve him. Yes, from danger, but ultimately even from death. Oh, that we would have such desire for our children, that we wouldn't simply lose hope just because everyone else is turning away, just because other parents are giving up on their children, but rather that we keep holding on, we keep caring for them. We keep seeking to protect them and preserve them as best as we can. Jochebed's faith was in the Lord. Her desire was for her son to be saved, to be safe. Even as Hebrews 11:23 tells us, she did what she did out of faith. That resulted in a fearless individual because, as we read in Hebrews 11:23, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Just because rules are passed by governments does not mean Christian parents have to implement them. I'll mention more about it this evening in tonight's message, but just last week, Wales passed a law you can no longer smack your child. That's against God's word. Just because the world turns away from the teaching of God's word does not mean Christian parents do. Her desire was to protect them. In spite of what the government and the king said of that day, she protected and preserved her child. She did everything she could to see him alive. One final thing I want to leave with you this morning. There was her distinction, her desire, but then the verses 5-9, her delight. Her delight. Those verses tell us about how whenever he's put into the water, and then Pharaoh's daughter is the one who has him lifted up out of the water. Now I'm reminded of the words of Mark 14, the verse 8, where it says, she hath done what she could. There's nothing more that Jochebed could have done for Moses. She had given him everything. All of the love, the compassion, the care. And even when it came to that moment in Moses' life, whenever he had to go, whenever it was simply impossible to hold on to him any longer, she provided the very best that she could offer to him. Then as she laid him into that ark, she set the ark down into the water. She just simply has to then commit him to the Lord's hands. Lord, I can't physically hold on to my child anymore. Lord, he's in your hands now. She did believe. She had faith. The Spirit had stirred within her realization. Because it's noted there, whenever he is born, verse 2, that when she saw him, that he was a goodly child. Something is stirred within her. The Spirit of God speaks to her and speaks to Amram whenever that child is born. This child is different. She already had, this is her third child. She's already had Miriam and she's already had Aaron, but there's something the Spirit speaks to her and tells her and shows her whenever the child is born. This child is different. She has to commit him into the Lord's hands. Lord, I can't do any more for him. I'm placing him now in you. Place them in your hands. And what then comes to pass is nothing short of a miracle. Pharaoh's own daughter is the one to find him. And she knew he was a Hebrew. And she even knew her own father's law. She knew her father had said, all Hebrew boys must be killed. They must be cast into the river. They must be drowned. She knew exactly who he was and what should happen to him. And yet the Lord turned her heart from wickedness to mercy. He's plucked up out of the river. Miriam standing afar off. She does not rush in, Miriam. Very quick to think that the moment the child is lifted out of the water that suddenly Miriam appears and just runs over, because then the whole thing would look very orchestrated, wouldn't it? Miriam, given the wisdom even of the Lord in that moment as to how to come over, when to come over, and she just then speaks, oh, do you need a nurse? Do you need someone to care for this baby? I can get someone. Miriam runs then to her mother. Mom, come. Got a job for you. And that child that Miriam had committed into the Lord's hands, the Lord gave back to her. She surrendered her child. She says, Lord, he's now yours. He's in your hands. I can't do anything for him. Lord, whatever comes of him, it's in your hands. Lord, if you save him and preserve him, that's your doing. Now she's being handed the child back. She's told, will you care for that child and nurse it? I'll even pay you. You think of it, up until that moment, every day of the existence of Moses had been, there had been certain cautions, shall we say. At any moment, those Egyptian soldiers could have rushed into their home, found that baby, and killed it. Or even some of her friends, some of her community, knowing that she had been pregnant, and suddenly there's a child. Where's the child? How possible it could have been that if that baby had have cried, well, even her neighbors could have heard. And up until that moment, but now she takes that child home. The child can cry as much as it likes. She can walk about with that child in public, holding it in his arms. Yes, this is a boy. But he's under royal protection. No one's going to take him. No one's going to harm him. Even the enemy of the Hebrews, is the one that's facilitating and paying for the Hebrew to be kept alive. Now, the greatest delight a mother can have is knowing her children are safe and secure. Physically, yes, but also spiritually. Let me say afresh to mothers as we close, particularly mothers who have children outside of Christ are still backslidden. Take comfort from this passage. You would never have believed it possible, would you, that it could turn out the way it did? That whenever Jochebed takes the baby and puts it into the water, that it would be Pharaoh's own daughter who saves him, spares him, and has that desire for him to be kept, nourished, nurtured, and then brought to live in the palace. You never wrote it. And yet that's exactly what happened. And I know there are mothers in this congregation. You've done everything you could for your child as they grew up. You loved them. You cared for them. You taught them the things of God. There came that moment, that time in their lives, you had to simply, as it were, they went out into the world. They came to that age where they had to, as it were, leave home. They had to leave the care of the parents. And all you can do as a mother at that moment is commit them to the Lord, praying for them that the Lord would undertake. The Lord would save them, spare them. God did it in Jochebed's time and in her situation. God can do it today. God can do a miracle in your child's life, regardless how far down the road they are, regardless how long they've left home, regardless how hard they are against the gospel, regardless how impossible the situation may seem to you and may seem over year after year. God can do a miracle. Imagine the joy that there must have been in Jochebed's heart. I'm sure she didn't have the joy in her face. She didn't want to betray the situation. Can you imagine the joy in her heart whenever she is handed her own son, told to take him home, to care for him? Imagine that joy. I've left him in the Lord's hands. Look what the Lord's done. See, the Lord is able to give us much more than we could ask or even think. Mothers, and indeed fathers, be godly mothers and fathers. Do everything that you can for your children. And then leave the rest with the Lord. She did what she could. God undertook for the rest. May even that joy that Jochebed experienced, may that joy be realized in the homes of this congregation. Those children that you have loved, surrounded in the things of God, brought up in the gospel, may you yet see the blessing and the miracle of the new birth, even in their lives. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the godly example that Jochebed and indeed Amram is. We thank thee, O God, for the care that they gave to their children in spite of what the government said, in spite of what the king said, in spite even of what their friends were doing, what their community were doing. Oh, Father, enable each one of us as parents and as individuals, in spite of what others do, enable us to stand for thee, never to turn, never to diminish and dilute thy word. Oh, Father, we pray for those that have loved ones still outside of Christ. Lord, they've done what they could and they continue to pray for them. And Father, we ask that Thou will do a great miracle, that Thou will step in, that Thou will work out all things and save the children. Save those, O God, that have left the home. Those that are backslidden, restore them. O Father, unite families in Christ, we pray. Bless us this day as we separate now one from the other. Give us a desire once again to be in Thy house this evening. O Father, may we not be anywhere else but here, together under the sound of Thy word. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.